Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Finance Committee meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District. It's at 5:00. I'd like to start with the roll call. DeSchmidt?
Here.
Daney?
Here.
Olson? Here.
You want me to sit here? Oh, perfect. Hey, how are you?
We could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like the record to reflect that James from our accounting firm has joined us, and we have no town hall. The first item on our agenda today is the review of cash receipts and disbursements. This is the third and fourth pages of your board packet. And the cash disbursements, do you have any comments regarding that?
No, this is the format we've used prior. This is just an annual filing that we have to make every year in terms of what we receive and what goes out the door, and we put them in under the limits that you see. In terms of for payroll, for salaries, and then also for vendors. So,
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I'm assuming that this has been taken from the accounts payable records?
Yes.
Okay. The amount that's reflected for Blue Cross Blue Shield is shown as $189,000. Is that a net figure, or is that the gross payment?
It's what we always listed as gross, depending on what we're paying out the door, because we have to vet that back to the actual bills and invoices. Obviously, if employees are paying in their share, you'll see it as net in the financial statements, but you will always see it as gross in that report that you've got in front of you, the treasurer's report.
I asked the question because I thought it was perhaps higher than that number. Okay. The couple of other things that I'd like to note are IMRF payments were $164,567.98. When we prepare our tax breakdown for our assessment, we need to ensure that we continue to reduce. Oh, that one we can't do anything about, can we?
You're talking about the tax levy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so every year as you look at the levies, if you do have too much accumulation of fund balance, you can look to adjust the levy by levying less. In that particular fund. So if that's, you know, something that we need to be mindful of, you know, we kind of look at that, I think, every year pretty much. We could levy less in that fund for that year, and then if we needed to bring it back up, let's say the rate changes, as it, you know, will, based
last
on the liability.
We did lower it.
We reduced
it. So we just
it.
Want
yep.
to double check that we have enough.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
A couple of other items that I'm questioning or wondering about. The NextEra Energy Services Midwest, $10,504. That is for our gas, I believe?
Yes.
And there's another number in here for NICOR, which would be, I guess, the other component of that. The two total only. $17,000. Is that total correct? Was there any billing issues as far as timeliness?
We pulled the reports out of QuickBooks, but I'll double check them. I can take another look at them. You said you thought that was low?
It seems like it.
We budgeted $20,000 for it, and then the renewal for energy was in August, so I think we're right on.
Oh, we're getting a credit.
Yeah, I do. We have that credit. Mm-hmm. I think we're right on target.
Okay. Then I think worth pointing out is the fact that because of the mechanical problems that we have with the building, our Oak Brook Mechanical Services costs this past year were nearly $60,000. Mm-hmm. I think the underlying contracts we have are only for about $10,000. So it's just another sign of the aging infrastructure. Probably well worth noting for if we go to referendum, that sort of information in terms of what we can disclose to the public, that is straightforward information without making judgment.
When is mechanical services contract up?
I want to say we have one more year with them.
Okay. Was it a
3 years?
3 years. That's what I thought. Yeah.
I've been very happy with them. He takes such great care of our building.
They're out when we need them?
Yeah. There's one gentleman, I forget his name, and he makes it a point to find me and explain to me in layman's terms what's going on. We've just had a bad run luck with the extremely hot summer, and our parts are getting older.
No. That's
or they need to be replaced, or so.
Get the oil can out.
Anybody have any questions in regards to the expenses? Okay, then under the payroll, does this basically list all of our employees? Because it has a category under 25,000.
So the vendor should have a category under 2,500, but this one should list all of the employees that we pay. I'm just trying to bring it up here.
And is the top bracket accurate?
Yeah, so these ranges should be accurate. Now, again, it's a range based on statute of what we list for each employee's gross wages. But yes, they should be accurate. Did you see one that you felt was off?
I'm sorry?
Did you see one that you felt was off in terms of the amount?
I'm just asking the question whether that top one is the correct range or not.
Yes, I think so.
All right. The second part of this is the statement of cash receipts and disbursements that's on the reverse side of that sheet. And I'm wondering if anyone has any questions in regards to those line items. I will make the observation that
I think this past fiscal year, we budgeted somewhere around $35,000 for developer donations, and I think we had $52,000 or $54,770 according to this. And the numbers reflected here are on a cash basis.
Correct.
So gains and losses would be reflective of redemptions of investment securities.
Correct.
And not based on market value at June 30th. I don't know the answer.
I believe those are market-based, because I think those are just your paper gains and losses based on where the market's at as of the end of the month. So as of June 30th, where you were at. Those we take right from those Schwab statements that we get from the book, from Sawyer Fogle.
Is that consistent with the way we should be reporting that?
Yeah, I think this actually is accrual basis. Now that I look at it, I saw cash here, but I think we have to list it as accrual because that's the basis that we're under. So I made a mistake there. This is accrual.
So is it really cash receipts or? Is that a correct title for that grouping?
I think this is the title that the statute gives us. So I think that's what we're using here to base this off of. But you can see that there is a net change in accrued deferred items. So I think there's probably an adjustment that's made here. You can see the cash and investments. And then the cash receipts is probably cash basis outside of unrealized gains and losses, and then there's an adjustment after that.
Okay. So, at the unaudited numbers at the end of the fiscal year, our cash and investments were $6,914,000.
Correct.
Is there any reason that we show cash and investments as one total as opposed to restricted and unrestricted funds?
It's just per the statute on how the report needs to be formatted, so it's just more of a formatting thing. Usually all the restricted and unrestricted is in your audit. So if you wanted to see those restricted and unrestricted fund balances, you could look in the audit for those.
Can you, I didn't hear, look at the what?
The audit.
Okay.
Yeah. This format's really unique to just the state format, the state statute.
But this is part of our public post.
Yep, you're required. Correct, by statute.
And I'm just, does public statute say that we have to combine those lines?
This is the format that they're asking for, yeah.
Okay.
And if you were to look at somebody, pull somebody else's, you'd probably see it in a very similar format. So that's what I would advise if you don't like this format. I'd look at some of the other libraries just to see how they're doing it, but I think you're going to find it's in the same form.
Okay.
So are you feeling if we line item each separately, it would benefit us for purposes of the direction we're going with the library? What's your thought?
Well, without showing the breakdown between restricted and unrestricted, it seems likely have an awful lot of available funds. I mean, we have restrictions on in excess of, I think, $1 million of those funds that they can only be used for specified purposes. And I'm just, you know, this will only ultimately be published for 10 days, according to statute, correct, internal.
Yes, this does not need to be published in a paper anymore. You have the audit availability, which is now the notice that gets put in the paper after our audit is complete. That's what people would see, and that's what they would normally ask for.
I think that this is an overview capture.
Yeah, it used to be public. I mean, that's so the point of this is transparency, but now it's like there's way more information in the audit. That's a better, I think, a better place to go.
We do include it on our website, though.
Yep.
Yeah, we do put it up.
Okay.
It's required.
All right. Do I have a recommendation to the board from...
I wonder if somebody get my card. Could be my alarm. I better just check. You know, sometimes it's like a baby crying.
No, I have my keys. It's probably mine.
It's like, the baby's crying, it's mine.
Oh my God, if it's mine, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
No, I'm with you. I'd say you go first.
Is this open here?
It will be when you push it open.
At least it's not mine. I often I keep my car keys in my pocket. Hit against something else.
Right.
No, you don't have to put this in the minutes. Okay. So then there is a consensus to recommend that this goes to the board for approval?
Do we have a consensus?
A consensus? Let's...
Oh, this clear. Of the Finance Committee regarding this two-page report. We've reviewed it. We've asked questions.
And so you just want to present it to the board?
I think we have answered questions that seem relevant.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. So we have concurrence that this can go to the board with our recommendation.
Yep.
We can't take formal votes.
Right. No, we can't. We're just going to only present.
But we can review material. Okay. Moving on to the second item on our agenda, review of tentative budget and appropriation 2025-4. This is a presentation of what we would anticipate our budget to be. It was prepared by Director Wessel based on a 4.9% increase. I want to talk about the percentage increase, but I first would like to have James kind of, you prepared this, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. James prepared it, not me. But I asked him to do it at 4.9.
If you could kind of run us through the mechanics of what's involved here, and then we've got questions.
Sure. Yeah, the property tax number is really based on the estimated tax extension. So we did receive the DuPage County extension. We haven't gotten the Cook one yet, so that's still outstanding. And then we look at all the other revenue items, and we're conservative on that top line. We want to make sure those numbers come in. And then for all the expenditures, obviously the team does a very nice job making sure that they map out exactly what they're going to need for the year. And then we put it together in kind of this ordinance format, which again, per statute, you need to have where you have kind of a working budget column and then an appropriation column. And appropriation column is always, you know, a few percentages, points above that budgeted column just for unforeseen. You know, you never know what you're going to get in any given year. We had COVID not that long ago. That kind of throws everything off. So we want to have an appropriation column, and that's, again, the board's authority to spend. So that's, at the end of the day, you want to stay under that appropriated amount, or you have to then go and amend the budget. You always have the opportunity to move line item transfers within the budget up to 10% of the fund. And you can see there on that last page, or second to last page, page 4, $5.5 million is the total appropriation for the year. So again, that takes into consideration all the accounts and all the funds. And again, this is for fiscal year 2026, so ended June 30th.
I have a couple of things that I'd like to see adjusted within the income stream on the first page. First of all, I don't believe that the Friends book sales memberships is appropriate on this schedule. They're a totally separate organization. I believe that within the last couple of years, we similarly moved the foundation off of our schedules, and I'd like to see that removed.
Yeah, that was. I think that's a $0 amount.
It is.
Yeah. So we there's no. We're not saying there's going to be any income from that, but I think we left it on just as. You know, as you look back, that was on from the year before. So we can remove that line. That's not bad.
But what if we do get money from them? So they budget $4,500 a year for us.
So again, on the revenue side, I'm not as concerned. Yeah. I'm more concerned on the expenditure side. So I want to make sure that those numbers, we're going to be able to stay within that appropriation. If we get money to the good, it's not ever really a bad. So we could leave it as is? You could leave it as is. You could remove it.
Well, it's estimated income where the Friends is donating. So it's a little different category. I'm reading it. I don't know if you're seeing it the same way.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good way to look at it. It's an estimation. And again, right now we're just being overly conservative and leaving it at zero. And if we get a donation, great. We have the line account set up on the books to account for it. I just think that at this point we wanted to just say, okay, you don't want to put in, you know, balance the budget on grants and donations, that kind of thing. So we left it zero.
So should we remove it then?
You can, it, whatever the board chooses. I think at this point you can leave it as, you have two choices. You can leave it as is with a $0 amount, or you could remove it entirely. I don't think it leads to much confusion, just that we're not budgeting to receive or estimating to receive money. If we do, great.
But we know that we're going to receive at least $4,500 because they've committed to that.
It might be beneficial then to leave it just as a heads up that we have this line account. We don't exactly know how much or when this money's coming in, but we wanted to have it as a placeholder.
Yeah. And the foundation has been removed from our oversight, but they have not committed to giving us any money. They have $7,000 set aside for a lobby restroom project, but we took the foundation out because we don't have any budgeted estimate from them.
Right. Yeah, and again, that just goes to being conservative on your top line number. Yep. If you don't know, don't put it in, because you don't want to aim high and then not have the money to afford the
expenditures. Yeah, I think the foundation's been donating for book purchases and that, so you know, it's really relevant to food because they're their own entity.
I would like to see this relabeled just Friends Gifts.
Yeah, we can do that.
Because it really has nothing to do with their book sale. And it doesn't
or membership,
have,
yeah.
Well, anything to do with their membership.
Technically it does, because sometimes we do receive membership
funds through.
But those passed are passed through. I mean,
I wonder if it has to do with anything, the idea that the income is coming to the library directly and then we like reimburse it.
Yeah.
So people pay for the membership like through their library account, so mm-hmm. technically the library receives that money and then we distribute it to the friends. And so that's how I understood it.
Yeah.
I think I agree with Joe. I don't think we need to identify every little detail. I think whatever the friends donates, what was the phrase that you were saying, friends?
Friends gifts?
Gifts. It doesn't matter where they get it from because they have their own accounting system. It's basically they're gifting it, and I think we should leave it at that. I don't think it hurts to change it. I don't think we need to know it's from book sales memberships because it could be somebody makes a donation and then now you're adding the word donation. So I just think, I like what you stated. I think it's easier.
You know, he said friends' gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing that I think needs...
But there's also a line for... Okay, so that's what I'm looking at here. Friends, book sales, memberships... And the next line says gifts, and there's a number of mm-hmm. 6250. So I was reading this as friends, books, sales, and membership zero, gifts 6250. So what is this? Is the gift 6250 and nothing from the friends, or is the gifts a word carried over from the line
gifts,
item?
The gifts line is a separate line.
It's separate. It's okay. So
from other sources.
Do you think it's appropriate to say friends' gifts then?
Yeah, because they give us $4,500 a year.
Okay, then do that.
If the foundation voted on and said, I'm going to give you $4,500 a year, then we would add foundation in, but they have never agreed to that. It's very sporadic with their donations.
Right. Well, we've been more consistent on a twice-a-year basis donating the money for purchase of books.
So we did that.
Right. So is it something we have to list as income? Because you were saying it didn't have to even be on the line item. Or is it a benefit for us so we have a paper trail following what they donate, which I think is nice?
You know, I'll tell you this. If it's in your budget, it's kind of nice, I think, for people that, you know, go in mm-hmm. and say, what are your revenue streams? Now they're going to see it as zero. But then we have the explanation that says, well, historically we have gotten a dollar.
Okay.
So I just think it's a little more transparent that
way. I agree. Okay.
This schedule is really a high estimation of what we might receive in terms of funding from all sources, including taxes and other means. And I believe that we have another line item that we need to adjust upwards because it's too low. And I'd rather in a budget be too high as opposed to receiving income that is not planned for. And that is, I believe developer donations probably should be increased. I'm not sure what that number is. In the fiscal year just ended, we had $54,710, I believe, in income from developer donations. And I believe that although I don't know this for an absolute fact, I believe a large part of that has come from housing-related development that's occurring in the community, in the Tallgrass and some other areas in that part of our community. And I'd much rather like our tax numbers, have a higher than anticipated number than a lower.
So let's say you have it higher and that year goes by, and is the higher going to be a buffer
for the what ifs, or is it
In my mind, I like it lower, just because it's more conservative on the top line, like we were talking about. Where you don't know if it's going to come in or not. Mm-hmm. You don't want to aim high and then fall short at the end of the year. So that's kind of the methodology we use on the revenue side.
And I called the village today. I forgot that Todd Dowden had retired, so I left a message with Mike. And I asked him for the estimated developer donations for 2025-26. But historically, if I go back and look at the budget and appropriations, it's roughly been around 30. I think this last year was a little bit odd because we did have so much development from the grasslands. I don't think we're going to see as much.
And fiscal 24, you had 26,968.
Yeah, I'd rather keep it.
So you might have had a really good year because all those projects completed and came on. The donations came on for that particular year. I can go back one more year.
These are estimates, and if we see with the next year it trending lower, we can always adjust it.
Right.
That's fair.
I myself would not be comfortable in increasing the developer donation line. There's too many what ifs out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a boom last year, but tall grass is it? Whatever the place is up on the
tall grass.
They're pretty much built out now. And Brewster Creek, I think they're pretty much, I don't think that we're going to be absorbing a lot of developer donations until, even if that TIF, and they start to build there, we won't see that for 23 years. So,
what did the village project in the problem?
They haven't gotten back to me.
Fiscal 23, you were at 6,100. So,
6,100, yeah. See, I'm telling you, I'd rather be conservative.
If anything, I'd go to 25,000 and drop it down.
No, I'd keep it in
3. But that's fine.
Yeah, we leave it where it is. We look, at least we look richer than perhaps where we might wind up being. But.
Right, because he's still at Lake Street.
But you won't see that for 23 years.
I know. But it'll be nice when it's done.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions on that schedule?
So just to clarify, we are changing the Friends line to Friends Gifts, and we are leaving it at 0.
Even though we have a commitment, did they commit this year?
$4,500.
So we could put it in there.
And this year, this last fiscal year, they contributed, 11,000 or something. I'd much rather have a number in there.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a commitment for $4,500, let's plug it in because they seem to be eager to pass their money to the library.
And it shows that we're committed to receiving it.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the rest of these schedules are driven based on the tax anticipation. And I believe that 4.9% should be raised to 6%. I want to ensure that we capture all new development that has occurred in the last year or two.
So now you're talking about
the tax rolls.
Talking about the levy for this year.
Yes.
Okay.
We still have, I believe, some industrial buildings in the Brewster Creek area that probably haven't hit the tax rolls yet. And with the tall grass construction, I don't know what the assessments on those additions will be, but I'd much rather go high We have twice, I think, in the last 4 years gone above the 5%. It hasn't caused any stir. In fact, we've had the public hearing and had absolutely no one attend. I would much rather be on the high side to anticipate all revenues, because it's important that we capture every dollar that we can, particularly as we're looking at doing something with the library, whether it be expansion, remodeling, or new building. It will require all the funds that we're entitled to. So I'd like to make a recommendation that we increase those numbers to 6%. That will give us 3.1% above CPI. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we are thinking about possibly going to referendum, nothing's been decided yet, mm-hmm. but we put a big black box saying, hey, we're raising the levy this much. People don't understand. My other question is, the CPI is 2.9%. We typically ask for 4.9% so that we don't go over that black border.
Right.
Because even if you ask for 83%, you're still only going to receive 2.9%. And we have a 2% buffer for anything that's going to come in. And as discussed before, the grassland is almost done. Brewster Creek is almost filled. I just think that being more conservative is the way to go, especially now, right before making big decisions for this library in the future.
So, Joel, give us an example on if we go to 6%, what do you see happening different than if we stay at 4.9?
I don't think anyone in this room really has any idea what the new additions to commercial and housing development in the community have been. The 2.9% is inflation, correct? And
correct.
The balance is to encompass any additions in the tax base that occur through construction, remodeling, or other means that would increase the tax base.
My only thought is that I think you're going to capture all the new growth at 4.9. And there is something to be said about the referendum narrative that you go forward with in terms of, when's the last time we had a referendum?
83.
Okay. And again, the environment is difficult. People don't want to pay any more in taxes, and I think if a recession does occur at some point, you know, people are going to be struggling still. So I think I would be mindful of that black border, even though a lot of people don't, like you said, Joe, a lot of people don't come to the meetings and don't know. I think it's important that, you know, your goal with the referendum is to get out, you know, an understanding or education on what the library is doing. And that's your main goal and why the money's needed. So in my mind, I would say 4.9 is one. And I can run some calcs on it to tell you how much new growth that captures with that difference, which I think it'll be plenty.
Have you done any other districts in the community?
Referendum?
No, BNAs yet. Has anyone gone over 5?
No, right. Not a lot of has started that process because everybody's waiting on Cook. They want their Cook extension. But I would say that not. I don't think anybody's going to go higher than 4.99. I don't think anybody wants a black border. I get why we did it when we had CPIs over 5. You know, you've got to capture that new growth.
And the TIF money.
Yep, and then we had the TIF year, exactly, where we had to go and balloon the levy. But I think for us, is you know, this coming into this year at 2.9, I think you're going to capture everything at 4.9. I really do. And we can run some numbers just to give you an idea what that, you know, that extra amount in terms of new growth would be, because that's the component you're looking to capture, but I don't think it's going to be more than that extra amount you're looking for.
I personally disagree with you, James. I think that we as a entity have to be fiscally responsible to ensure that we capture all the funds that are available to the library. And that is the only way that we can do that. If we demonstrate to the public that we're raising legitimate funds and ensuring that we get those funds that we're entitled to, I think that's a positive.
Yeah, I just, like I was saying, I think we run the numbers and take a look, because I think you don't want to put something in the paper that's going to have a negative impact on your referendum. I think that's important.
Word will get out.
And if it's for no reason.
Right.
Well, it's going to get published in the next week.
I would say,
and well, week and a half. Week and a half, because it won't be published until after our board meeting on the 18th.
I can get you the numbers tomorrow.
And what numbers are those that you're getting?
So basically, what we're looking at is just what the rate is and how much an increase. We can do it. We can run a tentative extension model at 4.9 and just say, okay, what does the new growth piece of this look like to get to 4.9 at a 2.9 CPI? Because really that difference is what the new growth component that you're levying higher is for. And so we can run a model that'll back out, okay, if to get 4.9, this is how much new growth you'd have to get based on your, we've got the DuPage extension, so we can use that as a pretty good baseline. And then we'll kind of back into that number, and I can send you that, you know, tomorrow. That doesn't take long to calculate, but it's good to have, because then if you're anywhere north of, let's say, 10 million in new growth that you're going to capture on a 4.9 levy, you don't need to go any higher, because there's not going to be that much new growth unless a TIF comes on the tax rolls, which it's not happening this year. So that's where you can really say, okay, this makes a lot of sense to go to 4.9 or whatever you want to go to, but. I think it's good to have that an idea of what that extra or higher percentage.
But it'll probably
would
show
mean.
Us that it's not needed.
I think it'll be a high number of new growth that you will not get.
Well, let's run the numbers.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
While you're doing that, if you're going to run what that would require in terms of numbers, it really takes no more effort to run at 6% and see what that growth would be.
Yeah, I can do both.
So, okay. Is there anything else in this report that anyone wants to note?
I have
questions.
Questions. So yes. James is going to run the comparative between the 6% and the 4.9%.
Yes.
And then how will the finance committee make a consensus on this?
You're not approving the levy anytime soon, are you? When do you usually approve the levy?
October.
Okay. So this, I mean, this is an estimate based on where we're at today for the budget purpose, but this has nothing to do with when you actually go to levy and what dollar amount. You want to get them close if you can, but again, we're estimated here. So this is what we're estimating for tonight.
So then what is the point of doing all the additional work if this is just an estimate and when we get closer to the levy, we could change it?
You can't.
But you running the numbers now, is it going to make a difference if you run it in a month?
That's what I'm saying.
Like that's if, right. So let's get the data now.
Yeah.
So we can knock it around and it's, at least we have it. Can be presented to the board.
You want it before you go to actually make your levy determination.
We have a direction.
Yeah.
To answer Carolyn's question, I would suggest that we're going to have to indicate to the board that we did not have a recommendation in this area pending further information that will be available to us prior to the board meeting, and that we will at that board meeting as a whole make a decision. Because we have to make a decision on Monday night.
James, is there any way you can come back on Monday the 18th at 7 p.m.? Because I'm sure the other trustees would want to hear and understand the comparison.
Yeah, I've got a meeting out in New Lenox. I could call in.
Perfect.
Maybe a call in?
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
We could do a call in.
Yeah. Just shoot me a conference line or Teams or whatever.
It'll just be a good old-fashioned phone.
Just a phone number? Works too. Speakerphone is good.
Send your double.
Right. But that way, yeah, you'll have the comfort of the numbers, which is good.
So we'll get the email with the data, and then we can then further discuss it.
Yep.
So then on the night of the board meeting, do I have two versions of the tentative BNA?
So we can put together both, and then we can make a decision based on, you know, the new growth component that we talked about.
So is it going to be like a table chart where we see that it's laid out on the page? We don't want to be.
This is the model we use here, which is basically just a mock-up of your extension, and then we plug in the new growth estimates, and that tells us, you know, what we're going to capture, basically.
So what you will provide us is what it would take for us to reach 4.9%
yep.
in terms of additional growth.
Correct.
Over what our current year or prior year's assessed values were for
yep.
the tax base.
It's important, right, to look at the prior years.
And what
yep.
that's noted on the
what growth we need for the to reach 6%.
Correct, because your extensions are going to tell you what you received in the prior year, and I want to say you were 3 million. I want to say a new growth last year. Just try to pull it up really quick. Yeah, so you had 2,972,74 was your new growth. So if 4.9 gets us above like 5 million, I think you're fine, because I don't think you're going to see that. And that's why I think most people are going to see it come back down to like under 5 in terms of their levies. At least most of our clients will want to.
Peggy, do you have any privy to any information?
There isn't. Cook County is a month behind.
No, I mean like new growth. No, there's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on.
Something's going on Army Trail. They have to sign up. There's going to be some kind of meeting. There's vacant property right on Ship. I mean, right on Army Trail. I think it's east of County Farm. I think they're somewhere in their County Farm Gerber area. But they have a sign up, so there might be something addressed at the board meeting, the village.
Are you sure that that's Bartlett and not Hanover Park?
or Carroll Stream, depending on which side.
It's Bartlett. It's on the north side of the street. It's Bartlett, because the strip there of all the businesses are Bartlett.
To give you an idea, when you had your big TIF come onto the rolls, that was in excess of $16 million. That was a big, big deal. So I you're not going to see. If we calculate the numbers at 4.9 and you're somewhere in the 10, I would say you would be very comfortable if you're going to catch all of it. Because there's no TIF.
Mm-hmm. No, nothing's rolling now.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this item? All right.
Thank you, James.
Does anyone have anything further that they'd like to discuss? Okay. Hearing none, I would call for an adjournment.
Second.
And Ms. Schmidt? Yes? No?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Olson, yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Joe.